You will never truly live your purpose unless you enjoy your purpose. And to enjoy your purpose, you will need to feel rewarded. But most people confuse what rewarded really means. They think of rewards as physical things, money, possessions, overall tangible wealth. This can't be farther from the truth. Although having money is important, it is not the measure of success that we think it is. As I said in the introduction, I'm going to use stories from the Bible to show you how to live your purpose. And one of the best stories to use is that of Solomon, the richest king in Israel's history, and probably one of the richest kings in world history. To start off, let's look at what Solomon had. In 1 Kings chapter 10, the Bible says that Solomon had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he placed in various cities, and that he made silver as plentiful as stones. The weight of gold that Solomon received yearly was 666 talents, or around 25 tons, not including all of the gold brought in from merchants and kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. He had a great throne made of ivory, overlaid with the finest gold. The throne had armrests, with a lion standing beside each one. It had six steps with 12 lions, two standing on the sides of each step. No other kingdom had such a great throne. All of his drinking goblets were made of fine gold, as well as all of the household articles in his palace. He had a fleet of trading ships that returned every 3 years with vast quantities of gold, silver, ivory, and all kinds of wild animals. The Bible says that he exceeded all the kings of the earth for both riches and wisdom. He had 1,000 wives, 700 of noble birth, and 300 concubines. His daily provisions were 185 bushels of fine flour, 375 bushels of meal, 10 stall-fed cattle, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep and goats, as well as wild game and fowl. Solomon had everything the world had to offer in great excess. And in his mind, he had wisdom from God, so great that the Bible says he was wiser than all men. Not just spiritual wisdom, or what we might say common sense, but scientific wisdom as well. He spoke of trees and plants as well as all of the different animals. In 1 Kings 10, the Bible says that nothing asked of him by the Queen of Sheba was too difficult for him to answer. Solomon had everything. You would think that he would be ecstatic. But let's listen to him in Ecclesiastes. As I go over some of these verses, listen to what can only be described as depression in his words. Let's start off at chapter 1, and we're going to jump around a little bit. I don't want to read every single verse of Ecclesiastes, but let's read some of the ones here that show his state of mind. Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read 1 through 3. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Jumping down to 13. And I gave my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 17, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is a vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. This man who had everything was definitely not happy. Chapter 2. Now I'm going to read quite a few of these, but this shows your state of mind even more. And in fact, he now is trying to take away this depression, this anger, this hatred of life. And you're going to see that. In fact, he is going to say that specifically in the Bible. It's going to talk in this chapter that he hated life. But he tried all this merriment. So let's read chapter 2. And this is what he tried to do to make himself happy, the things of the world. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun all the days of their life. Now listen to what he's saying here. During this time, he's trying all these different things. All these different pleasures of life, but he still has his wisdom. So he's trying it, but at the same time, he's using his wisdom to see how well these things are. Do these things really mean what we think they mean? Verse 4, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water. to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion in all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath already been done? He's talking about the person who comes after him. He would be the same as the king. In other words, nothing changes. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. You would think here that he's saying that wisdom is better, that he's starting to get it, but listen to what he says. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise, more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth a wise man? As the fool. So now he's comparing wisdom and foolishness. First he says wisdom is better, but then he says the same fate happens to them both, the wise and the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. He's saying that everything I build is going to be left to someone else, and this person may not be wise with it. This person may squander it. And he realized how vain. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and a great evil. In other words, I do the work, and someone else who is not wise gets to reap the benefits and the reward. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. So here's what he concludes after looking at all this. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Not what his labor produces, but in the labor itself. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Solomon tried everything this world had to offer, and he found out, in the end, it was all vain. But he's starting to see that the labor itself, not worrying about what it makes, how much you acquire, but just the labor itself, is from God, because you can't control anything that comes after. Chapter 3, he goes on to talk about there's a season for everything. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck, time to kill and heal. And he goes on and on, there's a time for everything. And he's still lamenting. He says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. But he gives God the credit. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So he sees that the work itself has merit. Not necessarily what comes out of the work, but the work itself. That doesn't mean you don't work and strive for something good, but understand that it is not going to give you the pleasure that you think. Temporarily, but in time, no. Then he goes on to compare man to the beasts, that just like the beasts, men die. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So he says both die, the man and the beast. So what's the difference? So once again he says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? In other words, enjoy your work now because you don't know what the future holds. You can't see the future. Once you die, you have no control. So enjoy your work now. Chapter 4, he talks about all the different oppressions that he's seen under the sun. Verse 1, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. And they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. And then he laments, wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of the spirit. Everything you do, there's always someone who's envious, jealous of what you do. I'm sure everyone out there has seen that at some time or another. Chapter 5, he talks about the rich man who loves money and yet never has peace. Verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him sleep. How many times have you heard about the rich people? That's all they do is worry about their money and the stock markets going up and down and what's happening in the money markets, and that's all they seem to worry about is their money. Am I losing? Am I gaining? They never seem satisfied. Verse 13, he says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. In other words, he loses all his money, and there's nothing to give to his son. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Folks, you don't get to take it with you. All these rich people storing up stuff, acquire more stuff. They take all their time to acquire more and more, and yet you take nothing with you. You don't even take your body. Go to the cemetery and see how many people got to take their bodies with them. In the Bible, there was only two times. Enoch, whom the Bible says he lived 300 years after he had his son, and then he was no more, for God took him. And Elijah, who was taken up in the chariot of fire. Other than that, there is no other recording in the Bible of anyone who left with his body. Everyone else leaves everything behind, your very flesh included. You get to keep nothing. So these people spend their entire lives acquiring stuff. For what? So that a fool comes along and gets to reap the benefits of your hard labor? Squander it? Why waste time on acquiring stuff? As Solomon said, enjoy the work. Enjoy your labor. Far too many people get caught up in this world's pleasures. And as he said, they're all vanity. Verse 18, now he compares the good man, the man whom God blesses, to this evil person who never gets to enjoy what he has. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. In other words, he doesn't look back on all the days and, this went wrong and that was bad, and because God gives him joy in the heart. So he doesn't think back on things that went wrong. I should have, could have, would have. He doesn't spend his time doing that. He enjoys his labor and what God has given him. Compare that to the man whom God does not allow to enjoy. Chapter 6, 1 and 2. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. The man who stores up, stores up, stores up, yet he doesn't enjoy it. The story of the rich man, who said, I have lots of things. I'm going to build bigger barns, tear down my smaller ones. And the Bible says, you fool, for tonight your life will be demanded from you. You don't know whether God will give you the power to enjoy what you have. So don't acquire stuff. You need to enjoy the labor. As you live your purpose, enjoy what you're doing. Don't ask yourself, what is this building? What am I doing? How many things am I acquiring? How many people have I affected? Don't ask yourself those questions. Just enjoy the labor of the day. In the next several chapters, there's some really good verses that you should listen to and take heed, for they will help you in life. I like this one a lot. Chapter 7, verse 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. In other words, don't talk about the good old days, folks. There was nothing better in those days. Oh, I'm sure there was individual things here and there that were better. But think about your life. Think about medicine. Think about the ease of technology today and how, if used properly, it's a great, great blessing. I think we look back on the days of old and reminisce because we look back on them with rose-colored glasses. If you could go back in time and really go through it and see the old technology and the old things we put up with, you'd probably just shake your head and go, ugh. Okay, what was I thinking? Don't do that. Look at today. You can plan for tomorrow, but understand you may not live tomorrow. But definitely do not dwell on the past. That is not wise to do so. Here's another good one in verse 21. Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. How many times do we do that? We get mad because we hear somebody said something about us and we take it to heart. He says, don't do that. Because you yourself have also said things about others that you shouldn't have done. You realize later that I shouldn't have said that. So just let these things slide off. Don't let them build up. And talking about women once again, verse 26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. How many times, men, have we gotten caught up with women? Maybe we got caught up with her looks or what she says, the false compliments women give, and to our misery, we end up with her. Wishing later we had never even met her. Be careful. They can be a snare, and her hands bands that bind you. You may wish you had never met her. So be careful who you go after. Watch your ego. That's how the evil woman preys on men, just as evil men use smooth talk against women. That's what evil people do. Don't get caught up in it. Chapter 8, 11. I like this. We talk about the justice system. This is a good one. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, if you don't punish quickly, people are going to look at that and say, well, why shouldn't I do it? Why shouldn't I take advantage of it? Always, punishment should fit the crime and should be done in a timely manner. And sometimes, folks, good happens to bad, and bad things happen to good. Verse 14, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this is also vanity. The good man suffers what the wicked man should suffer, and the wicked men get the rewards that a good man should get. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And also this, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. You know, sometimes we just don't know why God does certain things. Understand this. God is perfect. He is perfection. All things work for his good. Sometimes we will not understand why these things happen. But they do. So just believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He's in charge. Chapter 9. Here, it seems like Solomon is not quite lamenting as much, but then sure enough, he starts a little bit in the chapter, but at least he's starting to see here, because he was talking earlier about the man who never was and didn't see the evil is better off than those who are alive. But chapter 9, verse 4, he starts to change his mind a little bit. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, and their hatred, and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. He's finally starting to see that life does have meaning. And all the lamenting he's done so far in the prior 8 chapters, he's starting to acknowledge that it is better to be alive, that those who are dead are not better off. Verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. In other words, whatever you do, do it with all your heart. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches of men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Here he starts to go backwards again. Solomon, it's kind of funny. He says, go do it. Now he says, oh, here we go. It's almost like he's getting a little bipolar here, doesn't it? For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and a few men within it. There came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered the same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So, sometimes your works are not going to be remembered, but it's still important to do them. You may be the poor wise man who delivers a city and nobody remembers you, but it doesn't matter, because God remembers. So don't ever work for memories, for stuff, because that's not what's important. It's important that you just do what you need to do. Chapter 10, here's a good one that everybody has experienced. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Sometimes, folks, people who don't deserve it are exalted. You're going to have that in companies. You're going to have that in organizations. I don't care if it's police departments, fire departments. You're going to have that in government. You're going to have that everywhere. People getting promoted who have no business being promoted. And those who should be riding the horse, so to speak, are on foot. It happens. This is the evil on the earth. Just understand it. But now we move to chapter 11, and Solomon is once again looking at labor. Verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. If you stand there watching the wind and watch the clouds, you're not going to get anything done. Verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We don't know everything God does, so don't question it. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, you don't know what's going to happen. Just do your work. But he says this, verse 7, truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them, yet let him remember all the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we work, there will be many dark days in this earth. And we don't know why. Because we don't know the works of God. Even though we try, we just don't know. This is what the preacher says about youth. 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things God will bring thee unto judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Young people, don't turn to evil. Don't do it. You're going to be judged. You think in your heart that you know everything in your youth and that it's all about youth and let me have fun in these days before I get old. But he says, don't do it. Don't do evil. Do good. Remember now thy Creator. This is chapter 12. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's talking about as you get old. Enjoy the time of your youth. Do good. While the sun or the light or the moons or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. All the daughters of music shall be brought low. Talking about older age now. Old age, actually. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. There's two things that I want to go over in the final part of this. I skipped over them for a reason, because it's important to think about these in the end. Chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Be not righteous over much. neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thy foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? Have you ever heard the phrase, so heavenly minded that no earthly good? Solomon says, don't do this. Don't be overly righteous. What's the saying we always like to say, in all things moderation? But don't be wicked. And finally, chapter 12, verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. You don't need to read every book out there written by every Christian. Just read your Bible. Everybody's writing a book today. Everybody has something to say. Thousands of years ago, they were writing books. Everybody thought they had something important to say. And maybe they did have some things, but just read your scripture. I think you can see that throughout the book, Solomon was full of depression, hatred, and anger. He tried everything that the world had to offer to cure this, but to no avail. There were two things, and only two things, that gave Solomon happiness. The one I've mentioned several times, that is to enjoy your labor, not stuff acquired by your labor, because this will be left to someone else, someone who may squander it. It's going to fall into decay and disrepair. You can't take it with you. You'll build up stuff for someone else to use. But enjoy the labor itself. Do what makes you happy. And second, in the final conclusion of chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. These are the two things to learn from this book. Enjoy your labor and fear God. This is truly living your purpose.